Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Welcome to the newest edition of Mediocrity. This is episode number 27, I believe. We've been off for a couple weeks. And I'm very excited to be here. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com. I'm with Jonathan Atterbury. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing all right. You've got a robe on and an Arnold Schwarzenegger shirt on, and your hair's all over the place.
I like to get fancy for you guys.
Oh, I love it. Fancy style. How's New American Fitness going?
It's going great, man.
What's the best thing you've seen since we've been on our hiatus?
You mean the best movie or the best thing in general?
Best thing in general.
I'm going to say the best movie I've seen. I saw The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Oh, good. I'm glad you finally saw that. It's a scary movie.
That was a very scary movie. I loved it.
Go see it. It's on digital on demand.
Yeah, I rented it on Apple Movies, and it was, I think, $6 or something, and it was totally worth it because it was a surprisingly frightening. I mean, I was scared legitimately at a few points in that movie, and that's kind of hard for me to find.
Yeah, they did a damn good job with The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Highly recommended. Yep.
Absolutely.
Jeremy Maggart with Jeremy Maggart Art, and the artist of the amazing comic books that you find in online or in stores, right? How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
How's Primal Instinct?
It's going great, man.
Yeah? What page number are you on issue 3?
I finished up page 15 last night, and I think the plan is to have the first 3 issues at the upcoming Dallas Comic Show.
Very cool. So you got a table for that again?
I do.
I'll be there, man. We can take pictures and send it to Atterbury and let him know what he's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we?
Just make as it. Long as I'm not missing the Suicide Girls, I won't be too heartbroken.
Wasn't there a restraining order against you on the Suicide Girls?
I think that was Lou Ferrigno that put out the restraining order on me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You got all hot and bothered by him. But yeah, this is a fun Mediocrity show where the show is just okay, where we don't talk about politics or financial situations or the current state of the world. No, we talk about fun stuff, nerdy stuff like Star Wars and Batmobiles and the sexiest songs ever made, which is on our show today. So I'm very excited to see what you two goons are going to pick for your sexy songs. And you cannot pick A Kiss from the Rose by Seal. That's forbidden.
Well, there goes my entire list. That was just spot 1 through 5.
I liked yesterday when we were coming up with topics, I liked that Jeremy chimed in with, John just really fucks to every song. So it made me laugh.
So the I was best like, is a good polka rhythm, I find, is most conducive to excellent sexing.
Well, I was like trying to go through like songs that you would have sex to, and like I thought of Guar or The Doors or something like that. It would just be amazing. Bless you, Jeremy.
I would never be caught dead having sex to The Doors, my friend.
Because you're a weirdo.
They are the musical equivalent of Bill Murray. Just fucking overrated to hell.
I just want everybody to know that Jonathan Atterbury does not reflect the ideas and views of Mediocrity, because he does not
I reflect 1/3 of that.
No, he does not, because he does not like Bill Murray, and he does not like The Doors, which is so weird.
I don't like The Doors.
Oh, my God, what's wrong?
The Doors are off. They're so bad. There's no redeeming. Tell me what's good about The Doors.
Their music, their lyrics, their presence.
The lyrics are dog shit, man. They're dog shit.
Give me an example.
Of the dog shit? No, I don't remember them because they're crap. I hear them and I check them from my brain because it's basically something a 10-year-old could write.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Yep. We're getting off topic already. I don't get it. We've got to put you two in your place. Let's move on. Let's move on to Star Wars because we're big Star Wars fans here. And it was released, the new title of the upcoming Star Wars movie, Episode 8. What was it?
The Last Jedi, Star Wars Episode 8.
Okay, so it's in the Star Wars is in red lettering, and it says The Last Jedi. So what does that tell us? Or if it tells us anything?
I don't think it tells us jack shit, but it sure sounds cool.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
You know, it doesn't surprise me that they have Jedi in the title since this movie is supposed to be more Luke-focused. So I guess since he's kind of the last official Jedi, I'm assuming is what it's referring to. I agree, John. It doesn't really give us anything in terms of like plot and what's going down.
Yeah, and it doesn't even tell us that it's necessarily because, you know, Jedi is the singular and the plural. So yeah. It could mean that there are a few Jedi or that Luke is the last Jedi or someone is the last Jedi. I mean, it would obviously have to be Luke if it was just one, but well, I don't think that's the case.
Kylo Ren and Rey are fairly much Jedis, right?
Kylo Ren is not a Jedi, man.
He's a Knight of Ren. You should watch The Force Awakens. It's a good movie.
And the other Star Wars movies, because they're all pretty good.
But Jedi uses the Force, and...
Not everyone who uses the Force is a Jedi, motherfucker.
Oh, man. This is going to be a long episode.
Explain this to me. Why wouldn't they be Jedis? Like, you don't think Rey's going to be a Jedi? You don't think they show signs of being a Jedi?
I do think Rey will be a Jedi, but she's going to be taught by a fucking Jedi.
She's not one yet.
Yeah, I think she will be one if she becomes the apprentice of Luke Skywalker.
And you don't
yeah.
let's see. Go ahead.
Jedi.
Right now, she just has, she can use the Force a little bit, and she has a lightsaber.
Exactly.
That's a Jedi right there.
Jedi are okay. a religion.
But you wouldn't. So at the beginning of A New Hope, Luke can use a little bit of the Force, and he has a lightsaber. But you would definitely not say that Luke in A New Hope is a Jedi.
So can you refer to a Jedi as a Jedi? Well, what are the difference between a Jedi and a Jedi Master?
It's a level of expertise.
Okay.
It's like, what's the difference between a yellow belt and a black belt?
Okay. So they're both, okay. All right. They're Jedi.
But also, the Force is something that is, of course, universal in the Star Wars world, in the Star Wars universe. It's something that is within every creature and every being, and certain humans who are finely attuned can tap into that. Or not humans, but certain beings, obviously. Now, certain religions, like the Jedi are a religion, and they have a certain philosophy surrounding the Force. Then if you look at someone like the Sith, that's another religion with their own philosophy revolving around the Force. And we don't know a lot about the Knights of Ren, but they seem to be another sect of these religions, you know, their own philosophies about what the Force means and how to use it and what's good and bad and all that stuff.
Okay.
I'm kind of hoping we get some clarification on what the Knights of Ren are in this next movie.
So I bet we will.
So Rian Johnson, the director of the upcoming Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, has confirmed in interviews that this is going to be, of course, a Luke Skywalker-focused movie. So The Last Jedi, perhaps. I mean, I would like to think that there's going to be, like, Jedi rising up from the ground and, like, coming back. And it, like, goes with my theory that maybe Mace Windu is still alive and comes back.
Goes with my theory that you don't know anything about Star Wars.
Yeah. Mace Windu's going to come back and fly his space plane.
He will. It'll happen. He'll come back. I can't wait till that actually happens and y'all both look at each other and be like, Kluber was right.
If that does happen, I will be humiliated.
There's bigger problems because I feel like that's the first sign of Armageddon.
Yeah.
We'll see. But is there anything else you wanted to say about the new poster or the new reveal of the title?
Well, okay, so we call it a poster, but it's really not a poster. It's the words.
Yes.
So it's not that. I mean, when I heard it, I was like, I mean, even being a big Star Wars fan, like I am, I heard the title, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't have like a, yeah, oh my God kind of moment, but I was like, oh, all right. It, you know, it's, it fits, it sounds like a Star Wars movie, and I'm into it.
All right. Jeremy, what do you think?
I'm good. I'm ready. I'm ready for some Luke Skywalker action.
All right.
Yes.
All right. All right, moving on. Fox just released a Red Band, an R-rated trailer for Logan, and it looked amazing. What do you guys think about that trailer? I think this movie looks... I mean, if any movie were to win an Oscar, it should be Logan, even without seeing it yet. Going by the trailer only.
I'm excited about that. I've been excited about it since we first heard that we were getting an R-rated Wolverine movie.
Did you like the new trailer?
Yeah. The more gore, I mean, I think that they were saying that it was rated R for extreme violence and nudity and stuff like that. So, bring it on. I'm into it. I don't think the nudity was necessarily a requirement. You could take out the nudity and just give me like 20% more violence and I would have been happier in the Wolverine movie.
So more violence, less titties.
I rarely say that. I'm rarely of that opinion, but for this movie, I think yes.
Do you agree with that? Is he more for violence and less nudity, Jeremy?
Depends on the situation.
In life?
What do you think of the Wolverine trailer?
I like it. You know, I've watched it a few times, and there are... You know, I've run into anytime I see a little kid throwing around a full-grown adult, I always get a little worried on stuff because as soon as you do that, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, you kind of took this from being Logan to now it looks like it's three ninjas. And so that worries me a little bit.
Now Brian's just more excited about the movie.
I am.
Because, I mean, you know, if she's a clone of Logan, of Wolverine, you know, she doesn't really have, shouldn't really have the strength to be like throwing around, you know, full grown men. So that worries me just a little bit, but outside of that, it's cool.
All right. I'm just glad that Three Ninjas was brought back up.
Yeah, I did that for you.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing more trailers. Hopefully we'll see the movie very, very soon. And I know y'all mentioned y'all wanted to talk a little bit about Carrie Fisher. Of course, she passed away recently, and it's very sad. She was awesome, not only in film, but like in life. She was a comedian, an excellent author, screenplay writer, a script doctor to some of the best movies in Hollywood. And she was an outspoken activist for people with, what's it called? Like being bipolar and whatnot. And she's just an all-around awesome person. So what do y'all want to talk about Carrie Fisher? What always turns you on about Carrie Fisher in every way possible?
What always turns me on about Carrie Fisher?
I mean, like, you know, mentally as well as physically, I guess.
Well, okay. So, I mean, I think what we were saying was that we had to talk about Carrie Fisher is she, you know, she is a big part of the Star Wars. You can't think about Star Wars without Carrie Fisher popping into your head at some point along the way. And, you know, when she passed, I was really bummed out by her passing. You know, like, of course, we've had so many celebrity deaths in 2016. But this was one of the ones that really hit home for me because, you know, I think all of us at some point have had a crush on Princess Leia.
Right.
So just to see that and have her be such a big part of our childhoods and adolescence and stuff like that. And, you know, when she passed, it was a big deal. It was a bummer.
Was it more heartbreaking than Kenny Baker dying earlier in the year?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as much as I have respect for him, I never was emotionally attached to Kenny Baker.
Okay.
Like when people are like, you know, going to comic book conventions to get a picture with Kenny Baker, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, all right. And I mean, he's less relevant than Anthony Daniels, who is pretty low relevance to the Star Wars universe.
All right. So, Jeremy, when did you first come upon Princess Leia or Carrie Fisher?
Probably watching A New Hope on, I want to say probably VHS, man, long, long time ago.
And big fan.
It wasn't like Betamax or some shit?
Huh?
I said it wasn't what? Like Betamax?
I think that predated VHS. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
So...
But yeah, it was just watching Star Wars on, you know, on VHS rented from the video store.
All right.
I think that was the first one.
Good, good.
And then, of course, you know, she was in so many other great roles. One that always comes up in my mind is her in Blues Brothers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think Dan Aykroyd, like, just wrote an open letter to her. Like, I think it was posted today, perhaps.
That oh, was, really?
Yeah. So, like, a good letter to her. Because I know they were friends. But, yeah, she was she was excellent in everything. She was in Drop Dead Fred. And wasn't she in Austin Powers?
I don't know about Austin Powers. She was in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back as the Harry Bush nun, though.
Okay. She was definitely in Austin Powers. I think she was the psychologist or psychiatrist when Dr. Evil.
You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she's been around a lot. And like I said, she's a script doctor, too, and an excellent author of books. And she was always funny on the mic when she got up on a roast or to present an award. She's just an all-around good person.
And she inspired, she was the muse for a hell of a lot of great Paul Simon songs, too.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they were married for a number of years, and both while they were together and falling in love, and then once they split up, because they split up right around the time of his album. Oh, gosh, I can't remember the name of the album right now, but one of my favorite Paul Simon albums, and it's I think there's like The Boy in the Bubble and a few other tracks like that off of that album, Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes, and a lot of those were inspired by his divorce from Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. No, that's good. But yeah, I think we all will miss her. And supposedly she filmed her scenes already for episode 8. And we don't.
Yeah, that's all said and done. But this is going to be the last Star Wars movie that we get Princess Leia in, which is sad.
So I wonder how they're going to do that in 8, or if I can't believe we won't see her in 9, or I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, they said that Star Wars, the officials have come out and said Episode 8 is the last movie Princess Leia will be in.
They're not going to do any digital Leia recreations.
Yeah,
of old or young Leia.
But Grand Moff Tarkin is okay.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, Leia was okay when she was still alive. But, you know, I think it's probably a good call. Like you said, I'll be interested to see how they wrap it all up so there's not a big plot in the story on episode 9.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hope for the best. I'm glad we'll see her again in the movie. But we will definitely miss her. Is there any closing thoughts on to Carrie Fisher y'all want to add?
No.
All right.
I've said my piece.
I figured we should talk about it at some point.
All right. Well, we did. Let's move on to Iron Maiden. Now, are you both Iron Maiden fans or like Iron Maiden at all?
No.
Y'all are killing me today. I gotta mention, Iron Maiden is an excellent, excellent British heavy metal band. They've always been awesome. Their albums have been amazing. They've been around since 1975 and are still growing strong and releasing albums. Their tour is the Book of Souls tour, and they are definitely coming to the U.S. and they are making a stop here in Dallas, Texas. Tickets go on sale this weekend at American Airlines Center. I am definitely going to go. There's one thing I love about all of the awesome albums they do. I mean, besides their music is excellent. I love that they're actually artwork albums. Like they took their mascot, Eddie the Head, that like skeleton zombie looking guy, and have used like amazing artwork for all their albums. I think that's sorely missing in most albums today. What do y'all think?
Sure. I mean, I agree. I think it's a good thing when album covers are artistic.
All right.
I don't necessarily think that theirs are particularly artistic, but I like that they're drawn by people.
What? Why? Are you giving me shit today? What's going on?
No, I really don't like Iron Maiden. I'm not fucking with you. I really don't.
So no Iron Maiden, no Bill Murray, and
The Doors.
Know the Doors. How did?
But at least so Iron Maiden, like, to me, they're not regarded as like, oh my God, this is like they're making such poetry and their music has such like meaning and depth and it's so relevant in our pop culture.
It doesn't need to always.
Nobody
be like
says
that
about Iron Maiden.
No, but
so I don't
they're
get
badass.
Pissed at that.
They're badass.
They're okay. They're okay for a butt rock band.
They're heavy metal, not punk rock.
They're like, you know.
He said butt rock, not punk rock.
Oh, what's butt rock?
Butt rock is Iron Maiden and Poison and Warrant and.
Warrant and Poison are not even the same sport as Iron Maiden.
I disagree. I think that they are one hair's breadth away from each other.
One cunt hair away from that.
I mean, Judas Priest, it's all the same to me.
Oh, my God.
It's like bad AC/DC because, you know, AC/DC is devoid of any meaning, but it's got a great sound to it. And Judas Priest and Iron Maiden bands like this, I know some people love them, but to me, I find that it's devoid of any kind of meaning. It just doesn't sound that great. I'm okay with music not having depth to it, but I want it to at least like make me want to move.
I put Kiss in those categories as well, too.
I disagree about Kiss.
Okay.
I would say that Kiss is in the butt rock category. I absolutely think that. And devoid of any meaning. However, I love me some Ace Frehley. So.
You could argue that Kiss founded the butt rock category.
One could argue that.
Who coined this butt rock thing? I don't get it.
I can't believe you've never heard it.
Butt rock? I don't. What is butt rock?
I don't even know where that phrase came from. I've just heard it so often, I just never thought to question it.
Oh my God. Iron Maiden, they are an amazing heavy metal, fun as hell band. Do not listen to these people.
I think they'd be better if the drummer had two arms. I'm just saying.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
Doesn't the drummer for Iron Maiden just have one arm?
That's fucking...
That's Def Leppard.
That's Def Leppard. Oh, you were getting your shit confused.
I thought you were making that joke on purpose.
Yeah, me too. I was like, what's going on?
No, that was an accidental joke.
You're like a child.
But Def Leppard, also butt rock. Yeah, I thought you were trolling him.
See, same difference. I can't even tell. I don't even know which is which. Drummers.
Oh.
Iron Maiden, Def Leppard, I don't know.
You're killing me. I'm like gonna cry here. Oh my God. Well, mediocrity, folks, it has been a pleasure.
Good night and good luck.
Good night and good luck. No, we've got more to cover today, even though these people are ridiculous and make my head bleed. But we're moving on. Go see Iron Maiden. Let's talk about Batmobiles. Batmobile is an impressive instrument of death. And it is one of the coolest cars ever made. And since 1939, basically, we have seen, I would say 30 iterations of the Batmobile.
Now you say it's an instrument of death, but wouldn't it be more apt to say it's an instrument of inconvenience?
And what makes it an instrument of death?
He doesn't generally kill people.
No, he doesn't, but it could, though. It blows things up and can shoot grappling hooks through your throat and run
it
you
could,
over.
But really, he's just inconvenienced. So it's an instrument of incarceration. There we go.
An instrument of justice.
An instrument of justice. There's the comic book guy right there. Justice.
That's also how Jeremy refers to his penis.
Yep.
The instrument of justice. Just spewing out fucking justice everywhere.
Long ropes of justice.
It's very heroic.
Oh, my goodness. So the Batmobile from 1939 when it was a convertible all the way up until present where it's very tactical, army-based looking. What makes the Batmobile so cool?
Oh, well, what doesn't make the Batmobile so cool? It's fucking black and awesome and pointy and badass, and it goes fast and has flames usually.
You
so those are all cool things.
You just described my dick.
That sounds horrifying. You should see a doctor about that.
Oh, amazing. I'm trying to think if there's a Batmobile I do not like.
What's everybody's favorite Batmobile?
The favorite one? Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
You go first, Brian.
I think while I like the new ones, like the Christian Bale ones, I think maybe since it's my childhood, the 1989 one with Michael Keaton, it just looked badass.
I agree completely.
I loved it. And then maybe like the 1964 version.
The red and black convertible?
Yes, because that's just really cool looking.
Are you talking Batmobile?
Batmobile?
Yes.
What's that?
I believe that's 66.
Was that 66?
I think so.
Okay, all right. So 66, yes.
What about you, Jeremy? What's your favorite?
Man, I think I'm going to give it also to the Tim Burton Keaton Batmobile. The thing I run into with the new Batmobiles, I mean, if we're just kind of talking like just more movie specific and not really comic books, is my big complaint with the Tumbler is it doesn't look like a Batmobile. Like if you just saw a picture of it in a piece of concept art, you know, you would never look at it and be like, oh, that's a Batmobile.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, even kind of the same thing for me for Affleck's Batmobile. Like I like that Batmobile more than the Tumbler visually, but it still doesn't really look like a Batmobile to me. That's kind of my same complaint for Affleck's Batplane is it doesn't, you know, you would never look at it and be like, oh, cool, that's a Batplane. You would just look at it and be like, oh, that's a little weird sci-fi looking plane.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, I mean, I dig that one. And there's a few comic book ones that I like a lot too. I also dig the Batman animated series Batmobile is really cool too.
Yeah, from 1992. That was like a pretty impressive, really cool sleek monster. Like it looked really cool.
It just had this like really great kind of 50s vibe to it and just so much fun.
Agreed.
I think we're all in agreement that the Tim Burton Michael Keaton Batmobile is the winner.
Do you remember that scene where like in that Batmobile I think it was Batman Returns where like there's like that big like tube that lifted the Batmobile up so it could turn like 180 degrees.
Yes.
That was hilarious.
And the grappling hook that fired out so he could make the really tight turns.
Yes, yes. What about in 2009, the comic book Batman and Robin? Did y'all like that one? Or do you remember?
The comic book Batman and Robin?
Yes, the one by Jim Lee, Frank Miller.
Did not read that.
All right. Did you remember?
You're talking about All-Star Batman?
I thought it was... Oh, yeah, All-Star Batman and Robin, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'll start. Well, there's All-Star Batman and Robin. I think there's another Batman and Robin one. But All-Star Batman and Robin from 2005 was definitely an interesting one. What about the video games Arkham Asylum? Do y'all remember that one? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I don't think I played the Arkham
game that had the drivable Batmobile.
Okay. What about the Batman Beyond one?
I don't think I saw that one.
Batman Beyond. It's like very futuristic, alien-like.
Hmm.
I'm trying. It's interesting looking. So if you had your access to make a Batmobile, what functions would you have on it that you haven't seen before?
I think my Batmobile would be strikingly similar to the Inspector Gadget Mobile.
That's a good answer.
All right.
What about you? Just the ability to go up and go over the other cars to avoid traffic. I think that's really the one function I'd want in an awesome car, is just to be able to avoid traffic.
All right, well, that would be badass.
And the cookie dispenser from Santa's sleigh in the Santa Claus.
I'd hybrid mine with the spider buggy so I could just drive up walls.
I would make a Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure bicycle, but Batmobile style.
Isn't that what Batgirl drove?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So you want a basket on yours and a bell? I'm not sure what you're saying.
Yes, I want baskets and bells.
That's fine. But usually a bicycle with four wheels is called a car.
Meh. I like two wheels. That's why I like the Tumbler so much. It like became a motorcycle, which was badass.
That was the single coolest moment with the Batmobile in those movies, where it like all of a sudden he just shot out with the Bat motorcycle, and everyone was like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah, that was really cool. I wonder.
The bike was cooler than the Tumbler.
The bike was. It went up on the wall and like turned around all crazy. That was a very cool scene.
Yeah, it was a damn good. The Tumbler is a really cool Batmobile, and I'm curious to see if in a future Justice League or Batman movie with Ben Affleck, if we will get a crazy Batmobile looking thing. Because in Dawn of Justice, we didn't really get much of the Batmobile. So I wonder how they'll do that.
There was the scene where he was chasing the truck, blowing dudes up. It was an instrument of death at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But Henry Cavill also smashed his Batmobile, so I kind of assume that he'll get a new one after that anyway.
That's true. And I you know, like, when we didn't get to see too much of the Batmobile like we've done in other films, like, that were like whole scenes were devoted to, you know, what it does and everything. So it'll be interesting.
I'm sure once we get the actual Affleck Batman movie, you'll get some sexy Batmobile stuff.
Yeah, I think they should just do a recreation of the Batman and Robin Batmobile from the movie. It was pretty much the Burton one, just with a bunch of neon lights and shit on it, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I think it just had a bunch of, like, neon blue LEDs and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I think the Batman Forever one... No, wait. Yeah, the Batman and Robin one... Well, no, the Batman Forever had a lot of the neon and LEDs, but I think the Batman and Robin was closer to the Burton one.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's the one. Like, I had the toys of the Burton, you know, the Burton Batman, and then of course the Batman Robin Batman Forever stuff. Those are the ones that I had, like, the actual action figures for, and the Batmobile replica and whatnot.
Oh, it's pretty cool. I've always wanted to own a Batmobile, and I think if I ever, like we all said, I think it would either be the Michael Keaton 1989 one or the 1966 convertible one. Because those, I think, people tend to notice or remember the most. Don't you think?
I would easily want, if I could have any of the Batmobiles, I would want the Adam West Batmobile. To personally own and drive, that would be by far the coolest.
That would be damn, damn cool. Damn good. So, all right. Batmobile stuff, that's always good. Maybe one day we will all three have one and we will show it to everybody. But until then, we will move on to Jonathan. Jonathan, did you come up with this next category?
I did.
Lead us in here into why you chose this.
Well, first of all, the only reason I choose anything, excuse me, is because I think it'll be fun to talk about.
Okay.
So that was my thinking behind this topic, and I decided we should list out the five sexiest songs that we know of, and that I thought that would be fun to talk about.
All right.
So that could mean anything. It could mean the best songs to have sex to, the best songs that make you want to have sex, or the best songs that just convey a feeling of sexuality, any of those things.
Well, all right. So who starts?
So did you put a list together, Brian?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Let me hear your list. Let's do it.
All right, we've got to always start with Velvet Underground's "Venus and Furs."
Okay,
that is a song all about fucking in the BDSM style. The first lyrics of the song are shiny, shiny, shiny piece of leather. Oh, it's so good. And it's a very sexy song. If you've never heard Venus and Furs by Velvet Underground, please go do yourself a favor. Turn it on, turn the lights down low, and get sexy.
with yourself or with someone else, as well, long I mean, as it's consensual.
It's, like I said, it's very BDSM, so there's like whips and chains and lick the boots and bleed for me. It's pretty badass. And then another one, it's actually by Tito and the Tarantulas, which is a Spanish band that usually is in the films of Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino.
I was going to say, didn't they do a song in Desperado or something like that?
It was in Dusk Till Dawn, and it's called After Dark. And it's when, what's her name?
Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek strips. And that song is, holy God, very sexy. It's where Tarantino got like his fetish done on screen by sucking her toes because he has a foot fetish, which is great. And if you notice, like pretty much every movie, somebody talks about feet or mentions sucking toes. It's pretty good. So that one, and then I'm gonna have to go with the baby did a bad thing, and I'm trying. Is it Chris Isaac? It's Chris mm-hmm. Isaac. Yes, that song. Just I don't know why, because it's a damn sexy song. It's just like that bass that. Do 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 do. What's so funny?
Just imagining you making that sound just turned me on so much. Do 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 do.
Is that how I sound? Oh, damn it! No, I like that one a lot.
Chris Isaac makes a lot of sexy music, definitely.
He does.
Because that other one and the Wicked Games, is that the name of his other really famous song?
Oh, is that? Yeah, I think so, yes.
Yep. Yeah, those are both definitely sexy songs.
All right. Yeah, no, I like those three a lot. I would tend to go towards maybe a Boys to Men song, but I'm not going to, even though...
You've already done it. You just did it.
You can't take it back.
You already went there.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to. That's in a category of its own. I would have to say, I don't know why. Michael Jackson.
The Free Willy song?
Yes. actually, Dangerous. The Dangerous off the Dangerous album is a very sexy song.
Okay.
So come back to me for my last one.
Okay. That was a good list. I like those songs. I wish you would say your Boys to Men song and not just be a chicken shit about it.
I'll save it for later.
All right. So I've got a little bit of a list here. So I think number one, I'm going to go ahead and say Criminal by Fiona Apple.
Ooh, all right.
I've always thought that's a pretty hot song. It's just got a great groove, and the way she sings it, everything about that song's sexy.
Yeah, her voice definitely does it.
Big time. I'm going to go ahead and say Cigarettes and Coffee by Otis Redding.
All right. Otis Redding's my man. Love
yeah,
that guy.
I mean, Otis Redding's one of those guys where like almost his entire library of songs is sexy, you know?
Yeah.
There's everyone in there has some great reason, whether it's just because of the groove or the way it's being sung, something along those lines. So that one, A Fool for You by Ray Charles. That's just another fun, sexy song. And Rock Steady by the band Bad Company.
So
I defy you. Listen to that song. It's got a great, sexy beat to it. It's fucking good. It's awesome.
All right.
And then just as a little bonus one, I'm going to go ahead and say The Girl I Love Has Long Black Wavy Hair by Led Zeppelin.
All right. That's a good one.
Yeah. So that's some good shit. And those are just ones that I always think that are just, you know, they just have an energy about them that makes it sexy.
All right.
So Jeremy declined to make a list. He said he didn't want to. So yeah, I went ahead and took the liberty of making a list for him.
Everybody was kung fu fighting?
So because I lived with Jeremy for many years. And I know the songs that he plays when he's having sex. So I made a list of these songs. Because, you know, we were roommates for a long time, so I always knew that when one of these songs was being played, it was time for him to be getting freaky. So, number one on the list, we've got...
Wait. We have to mention that this is an amazing thing because he declined to make a list, but I'm glad that you know what songs he fucked to, and I'm glad you... I'm glad we're here at this moment.
I am too. I'm really glad I could bring... I figured I would speak on his behalf since... You know, I've known him for so long, and okay. We live together. All so,
right. Oh, so good.
All right. So the one that was played often was "I Want to Rock and Roll All Night" by the band Kiss. That one was definitely a sign that it was getting funky in the Meggert bedroom. We've got "Gravity" by John Mayer.
Oh my goodness.
That was a big time sexy one. "Tom Sawyer" by Rush.
Oh, Rush, huh?
Yep, a little bit of Rush. And one that came up often was "An Innocent Man" by Billy Joel.
No, it was "We Didn't Start the Fire."
I'm pretty sure it was "An Innocent Man." Maybe a little bit of both.
Oh, this definitely. Is so good.
So those were always, you know, followed by a lot of headboard smacking.
Followed by "Uptown Girl."
And then lastly on the list, I've got "Bad Medicine" by Bon Jovi.
Raise your hand.
Now, see, of your fictitious list, that would be the only one that might actually have been on there.
That one was definitely on there.
Oh, that was so good. That was amazing. I mean, my mouth hurts from laughing. This was just so good. This segment went way better than anticipated.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was so good. So I have to say that I have had sex to Darkwing Duck theme song before. That has happened.
I'm not surprised.
Masturbation does not count.
It's sex with someone you love. Come on. Nobody got that joke, I guess.
I got it. It was just I've heard it too many times before.
Well, damn. No, I have definitely had sex with a woman to Darkwing Duck. It has happened. But my fifth song is, we've mentioned them before already, Def Leppard, "Pour Some Sugar on Me." I really think
Are you a stripper, Brian?
No, but I think that song is sexy. That has, like, it's like the way it's done and, like, what it's all about. It's a sexy song.
Okay.
You know I'll be stripping in the evenings. And "Boys to Men." Oh, God. It has to be... "Water Runs Dry." It is so embarrassing to say that. I mean, I like
Don't
"Boys
be ashamed.
To Men."
Don't be ashamed. It's all right. We love you.
I'm ashamed. But no, I like "Boys to Men." I do. But
it's not worse than Jeremy having sex to "An Innocent Man" by Billy Joel.
I just like that happened. I like that you knew these songs and you're like, oh, Jeremy's getting late at night.
Yep.
That is so good. That is so good. Jeremy, do you have any retort or anything to say back?
No, it's all good.
It's all good. Did you hear any songs that Atterbury mentioned that he left off his list that you remember from he having sex to?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, well.
We covered it yesterday in the text. He's not terribly discriminate when it comes to his sex music.
Oh, I have to give a runner-up mention to Taj Mahal, the band Maestro. There's a song called "Strong Man Holler," and it is an awesome, awesome, sexy song. Very bluesy, but really good.
Nice. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the Tito and the Tarantulas thing. I'd totally forgotten about that, but you hit the nail on the head with that one.
I've been to a strip club or two, and I've always...
in my time!
And I've always wanted to go up to the DJ there and like, hey, can you play this song? But I've never done that.
Well, I think next time you really need to just ask him to play the Darkwing Duck song.
No, I'm going to ask him to play "Bat Dance." Because that's a long song and awesome. So, that is good. So, I think that's our episode. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about while we're on today?
Has anybody else watched A Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix yet?
No, I forgot that is already out yet.
Yeah, it came out, I think, like a week or two ago, and I'm like 4 episodes in at this point. And it's pretty cool. It's interesting. It feels like a Tim Burton production, but it's not.
Okay.
It's very interesting. I can't fully decide if I'm completely on board or not yet with it. But I'd say it's worth watching because it's very unique and it's got some cool music and just an interesting vibe to it.
Okay. Jeremy, you watching anything?
I'm watching the new Voltron series, the new season of that, and it's been really good. And I watched Travelers, which is another Netflix original show, which was really fun.
I started watching that too, actually.
Yeah.
Travelers. I'll have to check Travelers. I did watch the first season of Voltron, and it was awesome, so I haven't caught up past that yet, but I agree with you.
Season 2 just came out, and it's great.
Okay, yeah, I've been getting the updates from all the press people about it, so I definitely want to see it. One that I will mention that is excellent, that is also a Netflix original, is The OA. That is an excellent series. The first season is out. Highly recommended if you like sci-fi. It is
cool.
Awesome.
I've been wanting to watch that one.
It's Britt Marling and Zal Batmanjelig. They worked on The East, The Sound of My Voice. They've also done Another Earth, which was Mike Cahill. But excellent, excellent show. Y'all need to check that out. It is awesome.
There was another horror movie I just recently watched that I feel like you've probably seen, Brian. It was a black and white horror film. It's a brand new one. It's about a girl who lives with her mom and like some creepy guy comes up to the house. Do you remember that movie? I don't want to give too much away.
Eyes of My Mother.
Eyes of My Mother.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is good.
I didn't love it. It wasn't very scary to me, but I think it was very interesting and I thought it was very artistically done. So
yeah,
I gave it props for that.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah, good atmosphere, but still kind of off, a little too offbeat. Where at the end, I was like, "Ah, okay, like, all right."
Have you seen Goodnight Mommy?
Is that the one about the twins?
Yes.
Yes, I liked that one.
Okay, all right, that's a good one too. Lots of good horror movies.
But Autopsy of Jane Doe was just really, really high above the rest.
Yeah, I watched that in September at Fantastic Fest, and I actually got to talk with Emil Hirsch. During that time, and he really enjoyed making the movie. And the same guy who directed Autopsy of Jane Doe directed Troll Hunters, which is an awesome, excellent movie about scary ass trolls.
Yeah, that's a really fun movie. And then of course Brian and I, we've both seen Split. Jeremy hasn't seen it yet, so we're not going to talk a lot about it. But Split was really fun.
M. Night Shyamalan, he is. Found his third act of his career in making B-movies, such as Split and The Visit. A lot of it's silly, but they're really atmospheric, really good, very suspenseful. And Split, James McAvoy does an awesome job. You'll definitely be talking about it.
Definitely.
And Jeremy, Jeremy, when you see Split, you got to text us and let us know what you think.
I will tell you.
Good, good, good.
So there's some interesting Batman news.
All right.
In Batman Returns, you had Harvey Dent was in there. There was no Two-Face, but he was played by Billy Dee Williams.
Right.
And so we never got Two-Face, and a lot of Batman fans always kind of wondered what that would be like, but not really quite the same thing. But in the new Lego Batman movie that came out, Billy Dee Williams actually got to voice Two-Face.
Oh,
that's cool. Yeah.
Finally. Yeah.
That I read recently. I was like, oh, that's cool.
That is cool. I wonder how that would have turned out if it was him rather than Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen the new Batman Lego movie yet?
I have not.
I have not either. I have not. But I'll let you know if I get to it.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a pretty fun one. I like the Lego movie so much. I imagine this will be good.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I like the Lego movie a lot, and I hope a lot of that translates over to the Batman movie. It's going to be hard to just because it's just focusing on Batman, so but we'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll keep you all posted. So, all right. Well, that's our Mediocrity podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes under the Multimedia Men banner. And check everybody out. Where can we find you guys on social media to pester and like you?
I am on newamericanfitness.net is my website, and then I'm on Instagram and Facebook just at New American Fitness.
All right.
And I'm on Jeremy Meggert Art, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Sounds good. You can find me at boomstickcomics.com or Brian Kluger, my name. That's usually what I tag myself and everything. And we will be back next week with an all-new episode of Mediocrity Podcast. Thanks for listening.